listening to the Wait What If podcast.
Welcome to the Wait What If podcast. I'm your host, as always, Kevin Sullivan. And with me tonight is Savannah Steele, Dr. Steele.
Hello, but not a real doctor.
What's a real? Oh, like a medical doctor?
Yeah.
Cara says that all the time for the listeners, my wife. She's got her doctorate in education. And she's always like, I'm not a real doctor. But she is a real doctor. It's a real doctor. I mean, it's just not a medical doctor.
Still impressive.
The problem with doctors is they cornered that term doctor, almost like if you want a tissue, you say Kleenex, right?
Yeah.
So when you say doctor, they're like, oh, that's us. But it totally wipes out. There's probably more. Do you think there's more other doctors that are not medical doctors in toto versus how many doctors are out there? What do you think? You know what I'm saying? Like medical doctors versus whatever else you can get your doctor in. There's probably, they outnumber medical doctors, right?
Oh, definitely. Hmm. Yeah.
So it's got to be what I will coin the Kleenex phenomena.
Yeah, but the problem is with a real doctor, I mean, if you're in an emergency situation, you would say, is there a doctor in the house?
And you stand up and you're like, I am a doctor. You move up to the front. I'm a doctor of plant sciences.
Exactly. That's a giant problem in that situation.
I guess that could be. Yeah. Okay. Is there a medical doctor on board? That's what they should say. Or how about a PA? I'm a PA. I could go up there and, I don't know, do an emergency trach or something like that.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
Is there a medical provider with an advanced education in this facility? It's almost as annoying as
who can assist me in this emergency situation. Yeah.
Have you heard all the buzz about people like with their preferred gender pronouns? Are you familiar with this?
Preferred gender pronouns.
Yeah.
No.
It's this new, I want to call it phenomena amongst the politically correct elitists. And basically it they want to make it part of an introduction. So I meet you and I say, oh, hi, Savannah. My name is Kevin. Where are you from? What are your preferred gender pronouns? And you're supposed to be like, oh, you know, I'm from Durham. My preferred gender pronouns are she, her. And apparently like they're trying to normalize that in college campuses and stuff. That's so stupid.
There's so many transgender people out there who are like, this is stupid. I think this is like, this was probably started by some person who has nothing abnormal about them at all. Nothing unusual. They're the most like plain Jane person. It was probably somebody like me.
and that's usually.
And they just want to have a cause.
Yeah. No, you're right. And everyone needs a cause nowadays. And my cause is the Wait What If podcast. So what we're and there, do you know what? That worked very beautifully because typically I go off on random tangents and that worked out just great. So so this is a little different than the regular show. This is going to be like a 20 to 30 minute show between the shows. So I'm basically going from a bi-monthly show to a weekly show. And I don't have the time or energy to do a full show weekly. So what we're going to do is these little quick shows, and they're going to focus specifically on futurism. Why futurism, you might ask? I think and we were talking about this before we started the show, I think futurism really ties in well with what I normally talk about on my podcast. And if you listen to the show, you know what it's about. I mean, we talk just pretty much about anything, consciousness and artificial intelligence, and if you have a soul and all that stuff, and leaving your body and all those cool things. So, in order to narrow that down and make a quick show, I figured let's focus on what's new in futurism. And that basically means, if you don't know what futurism is like, not just like, hey, there's a new iPhone 8 out, you know, that's kind of boring stuff. It's more like the mind blowing stuff where, for example, did you see that they were doing an experiment? And this is kind of an old one. And I think it happened about 5 or 6 years ago, but they did an experiment where they hooked up people's brains via the internet. And one person was in France and one person was in, I don't know, Thailand or something. And the guy in French, the guy in France thought of something and the guy over in Thailand got what he was thinking.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So that sort of stuff, you know, it's future and it's obviously going to play a role in our society, but it's also has that mind bending, like, what are we really going to be doing this stuff? So that's going to be the general type of show that this will be. And it'll be quick, not as long-winded as the other show. But that other show has its own personality, I guess. So I'm in competition with myself. Oh, and this will be called Futurism Friday. So if you tune in and you see Wait, What If? Episode 53, Futurism Friday, Episode 1. That's how you know it'll be one of these quick shows. And we'll just be talking about a few topics that are going on out there. So how was that? Was that a good explanation?
Yeah.
Okay. Sweet. Okay. You didn't sound very confident.
Let's go.
You're like, well,
what?
Nothing. Okay. So,
I remember hearing about the communication between, two people at a distance via mind waves.
Yeah.
You know, a while back, and I don't know why, for some reason, it's one of those things that I'm just like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah,
I don't know why I don't get excited about that.
I think because
it's insane.
On the surface, it seems like, wow. But then when you think about it, I think they just tapped into I can't explain it. I'm going to make it all up because I don't know the actual thing. But from what I understand, it was basically two things or three things that he could think of, and it stimulated an area of the brain that they were looking at anyway, so he knew it would be a color. I don't know. I mean, there's a little bit of, oh, okay, I see how that works with it, but still, they didn't.
No, it's remarkable.
Yeah, they didn't say anything, and they transmitted information between each other.
It's insanely outrageous. It most certainly is. And I don't know why it's one of those things that I'm like, there's just a few certain topics, I guess, that just will always transfix me. Mm-hmm. But for some reason it hasn't gotten to me. Although I have already accepted that at some point in the future, you won't really have privacy within your own mind if you want to kind of join everybody else in the new world.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
That sounds extremely ominous and not very promising for anybody, but I'm sure it'll be pleasant.
Well, you know, this is actually good because it goes into the first article I was looking at.
All right.
So are you familiar with the term meta intelligence?
No.
So have you ever heard of Peter Diamandis?
Yeah.
Oh, you have?
Yeah. Oh. Big fan. Oh, yeah. He's a big futurist. I follow him.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. He wrote Bold and Abundance. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've never heard of the guy, but he's chairman of the XPRIZE Foundation. Do you know anything about that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah. That's his big calling card.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, what he's saying is the next phase of human evolution is going to be... So put it this way, it took billions of years for us to go from cells to actual creatures. And then it took 400 million years to go from them to who we are today. But now we're seeing this weird, I guess you could say, combination of humans and technology, where he says that it's going to be we're basically going to create new life forms. We're going to evolve into something that's not human very soon, like not millions of years, like I don't know, 100 years.
Yeah, it's all about the transhumanist movement.
So I guess I understand that you're going to become a human that relies, like, what's the difference between becoming a new species or becoming just a human that has a bunch of technology in it?
Well, I guess it depends on how you define a species. I mean, how do we define a species? Actually, I feel very ignorant all of a sudden. I don't remember exactly how that each species are differentiated.
God, I don't remember that stuff either. But
it seems if you have enough changes to your DNA, then at some point you're a different species.
I'll read to you how he describes it. And this is from, I guess he gave a talk on Singularity Hub. Are you familiar with that site?
You bet.
Okay. So Diamandis outlines the next stages of humanity's evolution in four steps, each a parallel to his four evolution stages of life on Earth. There are four driving forces behind this evolution: our interconnected or wired world, the emergence of brain/computer interface, the emergence of artificial intelligence, and man reaching for the final frontier of space. I don't quite understand what he means by reaching for that final frontier, but I guess he'll get into it. In the next 30 years, humanity will move from the first stage, which we're in today, to the fourth stage. So it's going to go from 1 to 4 by 2050, I guess he's saying. And we'll go from simple humans dependent on one another to incorporated human, or humans incorporated with technology in our bodies to allow more efficient use of information and energy.
Of course. I mean, it sounds it's very awe-striking, but...
So he's basically saying...
I mean, that makes...
If we're walking around... See, you know what? I'm going to call bullshit on that. This is going to be my opinion on it. I guess I can understand what he's saying. We won't be the naked little monkeys that we are now. We're going to be more high-tech naked little monkeys. But I don't... And perhaps... Perhaps by doing so, the non-high-tech naked little monkeys are gonna die off. But there's no way, if you are part robot, that you're going to reproduce and come up with another person that is part robot and part human. It's you're either going to become a robot and humans will disappear, mm-hmm. which, yeah. okay, that makes sense, or you're going to be a mix between the two, but it can't happen any other way.
Well, you could maybe you could synthesize another human.
Yeah, so then you would be full robot.
Well, I mean, you could synthesize you could create something that's part biological material and part inorganic, I would imagine.
Yeah, but what would be the use of it? I would say that if we
another cyborg just like you that true. Would call you mommy.
True, but why wouldn't you just put yourself on the cloud and say, you know, why are we dealing with this, you know?
Yeah, actually that I agree with. Maybe I don't know why people won't go directly to the cloud and live completely virtual lives.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what's keeping us from doing that at some point soon, actually.
But then we got into, I mean, can you do that and bring your soul with you? You know what I mean? Like, are you going to be, is it?
Just that's such a good question.
What that's was it? Really- oh, it was Black Mirror where, the little egg shaped thing. It was White Christmas episode. Where they delve into that. Basically, White Christmas episode, this woman has, well, they come up with technology where they make a artificial intelligence that is you. I mean, it's you. It's everything about you. And then the artificial, it's told by the point of view of the artificial intelligence, who's just, you know, that person. And they wake up and they're like, all right, where the hell am I? What's his name? John Hamm that played some character. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, you're a artificial intelligence. You're living in that box right now. And the person's like, no, that's not true. I'm who I am. And he's like, no, you're just a program. So I guess, right. That's what he's getting at. That's what it would be. I don't know.
No, I mean, he's saying that we're just going to merge with technology. Right. And basically be augmented humans.
I guess so. Yeah.
I just wonder if there's going to be we could do that, mm-hmm. but I suspect the incentive will be higher to just become virtual, and go into the cloud like the other Black Mirror episode called San.
Yeah. I finally saw
Junipero.
That. Yeah. That was pretty wild. That one was pretty cool. Yeah. Cause
this show should just be about Black Mirror episodes.
I know. Well, cause that show is so amazing and it's all about, you know, the dark side of where future will go and where technology would go. But what's amazing about that, is in that show, in that episode, your consciousness, who you are, moves with you into this virtual world. Whereas I would say in reality, it would be a copy of you and you wouldn't actually physically feel yourself. You would still die. You are still going to die. You're still going to take your last breath and then stop or cease existing.
Yes.
And some little, I mean, it's almost like, it's like this podcast. I'm recording it. If I die tomorrow by playing this podcast doesn't mean I'm still alive. Right. So it doesn't matter. I mean, what's the point of it?
I actually don't know that they made it clear whether or not it was, just a copy of them or or their consciousness that right. went into, I mean, obviously, how do you define the consciousness?
Yeah, I guess you don't know, right?
Yeah. I mean, and will we want to go into a virtual reality world if it means that we won't know that we've died?
Well, I guess, Like, so are you saying, what's that word? I'm like theology, theologically speaking, like now you won't go to heaven. You're just going to live for circuit board.
Well, I mean, what if it turns out there that death is actually not death, death of the body, and there is a soul? I mean, I used to think that was baloney, but now I'm kind of thinking, well, maybe I was wrong. And if that is the case, that would be quite a shame to miss out on that.
That would, and you would totally bypass it. So there's, and there's no way to have it both ways. Ah, so what do you do? That's a, that's a, that's
well,
a,
you, I wonder if you could have it both ways.
Well, but then you know what I mean?
Like, we don't know what our consciousness is, and certainly we could program it. You could have it both ways, but there would still be a consciousness that went off into to heaven. Mm-hmm. And then some version of you, it would still be you, and it would have your memories, and it would feel like you, but it would stay in San Junipero.
Except to you. Does that make sense? Like, if you, it's same thing as if you take a picture of me and say, it's going to live forever in this picture frame. It's like, well, yeah, it looks like me, but it's not me. I'm not looking out from the eyes in that photograph. Like you were still
right, but you're, if there was a copy of you, so mm-hmm. let's say you're about to die.
Right.
Let me think about this. And you, oh man, actually I probably should give that more thought before I try to go into some sort of analogy. Because you're right. Making a copy of you that would go directly into, I mean, if you gave a program all of your memories and all of your traits,
right,
it would seem as though that program would wake up and think that it was you.
Right.
But you would feel dead. Yeah. It's so, still not very satisfying to you.
No. So the question remains, what is you? Can you, is that proper English?
Oh, gosh.
Like, what is you? Like, what is that little bit that, and you can't just say, well, I'm my memories, I'm my this, I mean, a program that has all that, I guess technically is you, but what is that one part of you that you know you're alive, you know, that little intangible thing? And how do you explain that to someone? I mean, everyone knows that they're alive and they know who they are, but you're more than just the sum of your experiences. There's something else there, right? There's a spark, and you can take the sum of someone's experiences, upload it online, great, but it's missing that spark. So, I mean, like, why would you spend all this time and all this money to have, you know, it's like building building the pyramids for yourself. You know what I mean? It's a lot of effort for what outcome? What, that you think you're that important that you have to live forever in some, I don't know, make-believe virtual world?
Yeah, but not you, but some version of you. Right. Yeah, that would be kind of silly.
Yeah.
I definitely have no desire to do that. I don't see many people having that desire.
Yeah. So the question is,
actually have their consciousness continue.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you do that? So what do you have? What do you have that's going on in,
Well, this isn't mind blowing, like, two people being able to share thoughts through the internet across countries. But I think we talked about during our predictions episode about, Watson being able to make, basically being able to diagnose your diseases.
Okay.
Yeah. And there were a couple of articles, that came out. One of them was a study that was done at Stanford. And the title of this article was wearable sensors can alert you when you are getting sick. And so in this article, they used about 7 different sensors. They had 60 patients. And I think they were just healthy volunteers. I don't think they were actually patients.
Okay.
And they had 7 different sensors that some of them wore. I don't think that it was necessary to wear all of them. I think the reason that there was some duplication of sensors just because they wanted to make sure they had reproducibility and whatever.
Okay.
To make sure the measurements were accurate. But they just had these people wear these sensors, and it's really remarkable how much data that they can collect. It says that they were able to collect 2 billion with a B measurements from 60 people, which, I mean, it makes perfect sense, but it's just crazy to think that they were, that there's enough storage to be able to collect that kind of data from people.
So they were like, I'm picturing like a sensor, like you're wearing a suit, not really, I guess like a something that's covering and it's measuring your respirations. It's measuring your body temperature. It's measuring,
No, it definitely wasn't a suit. I think it was just, well, I think, so the Scanadu, I haven't seen this in a while, not since like CES 2014, but the last time I saw it, I think you literally just kind of put it against your head periodically throughout the day.
Oh, that's it.
And
it's just
measures
one thing.
Maybe skin temperature.
Okay.
Well, that was the Scanadu. So there were seven different things, though. Mm-hmm. So that's just one of them that they use. There was another one called Moves, which I'm not familiar with that one at all. I mean, they measured things like, skin temperature, heart rate, pulse oxygen at the, oxygen levels at the, fingertips.
Yeah.
It seems like they did not measure blood pressure, which is interesting. They measured activity and sleep. They might've measured a few other things, and they also took actual, sort of blood measurements as well. But I was more interested in the fact that they were able to get so much information from these sensors. So the what I thought was awesome was that they were able to find that higher than normal readings for heart rate and skin temperature correlated with an increased level of C-reactive protein in blood tests,
which is an inflammatory.
So perhaps, yep. Oh yes, and good point. So C-reactive protein is an inflammatory marker, and it can indicate that you have an infection. So my CRP is probably fairly high right now because I recently had a pretty bad stomach flu. It can also indicate that you have some autoimmune disease, maybe a cardiovascular disease, or even cancer is what the article says. So I mean, it's something you kind of want to be aware of.
Yeah.
But it requires a blood test. And how often do we go to the doctor to get our blood taken? For the majority of humans in America, I think it's probably once a year, yeah, if even a year. So it was pretty rad to see that you might be able to, in the future, wear the sensor that just measures your heart rate and skin temperature. I mean, that's pretty, that could be on your iWatch right now, or your whatever, Apple smartwatch.
Yeah.
Yeah, Apple Watch. Yeah. That could be on your Apple Watch right now. So I don't know if you guys heard that leak.
Well,
sorry about that.
What's the end game to that? Would it be to, because I mean, it just sounds like it's collecting data, and then it puts you in a bell curve that says, okay, you're now within the range of getting sick because of what I've noticed with these set parameters. Is that what it would be?
Yeah, well, I think so. I think exactly that's it. So one of the things that this article points to is a future of medicine where we are focused more on prevention. So
okay,
catching people before they just get sick. I mean, we wait until you know, your heart attacks before we start realizing, oh, you know, you kind of did have increasingly high blood pressure. That would have been good to point it out years ago.
What I think is lacking from data, let me give you an example of a patient that I've seen numerous times since practicing. The person comes in, they're tired. Okay, you're tired. And they tell me about why they want to sleep all the time. They go over this thing. Are you sleeping? I sleep all night long. Are you tired when you wake up? I'm exhausted when I wake up. I'm exhausted all day. So you run some blood tests. You look for their thyroid. You look for this and that. And everything comes back stone cold normal. And you're like, well, and you tell them, you're like, well, you know, everything's normal. So, you know, let's do a sleep study. Do a sleep study. It's fine. So it takes, and then a particular patient, I remember, I said, well, when did this all start? Well, it started 2 years ago. Okay. Did you move 2 years ago? You know, maybe something happened when you moved. You moved into a new house. Oh, actually, I did. I moved 2 years ago. It was right after my husband died. You're like, oh, okay. How have you dealt with your husband dying? Oh, my life has been horrible since then. And then you figure out they have depression.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
Now, I have trouble thinking that an AI, maybe it would pick up on the cues or just say, oh yeah, yeah, everything's fine. Here's a pill to keep you awake during the day. You know what I mean? Like sometimes you need that human touch to diagnose and I don't know. That's it. You know what? That's also me just subconsciously trying to make sure my job is still around in 50 years.
No, I mean, I agree. I think there's definitely going to be a place for humans to still interact with patients.
Right.
But I also think we wait in this country, or well, probably, I don't know. I don't like to, I'll just speak for this country. We wait too long before we help people out. Mm-hmm. Nobody's measuring my, so for example, I measure my HDL, my LDL. So those are for other people who may not be interested in medicine. Those are just cholesterol markers. And if they're getting higher, it means that there's something, abnormal going on in your system that you need to work on. So I track them over time. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, I feel pretty confident that no doctor, no primary care doc is tracking those measurements, is looking at your trends over time. They're just checking whether or not you're normal or not. And that's all they care about. Well, they don't care if you used to be well below the average, which was great in terms of LDL levels. They don't care about that.
A good provider will know his patients and be like, hey, last year we talked about this. And, you know, when you look at family history, has a big role. And so I think I understand what you're saying. And I would say if it's a practitioner that's trying to get people in and out of the office to get as many patients as possible to up the profits, then yeah, you're going to get that person. If it's someone that has the time and understands, you know, medicine and what LDL and HDL means, then I think you'd be in better hands. I don't know.
Well, I think we're going to make a lot of primary care doctors scream. And I don't blame them. So, I mean, and I've just sort of gave them a bad name just now, but
you son of a bitch. No.
Well, I just want to explain that I think part of the problem is that insurance costs are so high that they really have to get people out in and out very quickly. They have about 7 minutes. Mm-hmm. And if they can't meet that deadline, then they're going to start running behind on paying the office bills and being able to pay off their insurance. Yep. And also have, so it's really not their fault. Like, I'm definitely not, I probably shouldn't have made it sound like I think primary care docs are terrible. I don't, I just don't think they have the time to give the attention to what they need to.
But, to put it back into your story you think that this, can we call it metadata? This data that you're collecting, would benefit you more than,
I think it's amazing. I mean, if I could wear this, although at the same time, I have the ability to take my heart rate. I know my heart rate, it correlates with my health, and I sometimes will just avoid taking it because I know I've been eating very badly. I know I haven't been exercising, and I don't even want to know. I don't want to know that I've gotten 10 times less healthy.
Yeah.
So who knows? Maybe people will opt out of actually even taking the measurements.
And the funny thing is, by ignoring it, it doesn't mean it's not going away. I do the same thing. I'm like, I ate like shit all Christmas long. I mean, just baked goods everywhere. I would, if you could picture someone taking a shovel and shoveling up piles of chocolate and wonderful treats and just dumping it into a person's mouth. That's what Christmas was like for me. And then I'm like, it's just terrible. Well, Savannah, I think that was a very good beginning episode of Futurism Friday. Brought to you by the makers of the Wait What If podcast.
I think it was too, if I do say so myself.
Right. Next week, for the listeners, we're going to be interviewing John Mathis. John Mathis is an individual who has a very, very interesting take on life. He had a near-death experience, but he kind of did it himself. He was really sick with a horrible, was it meningitis? I can't remember. He was really sick, and he was basically in the hospital, tubes and all that. And he willed himself to like leave his body and have this weird sort of metaphysical experience. So he's going to be on to talk about near-death experiences and what else. So I think that'll be interesting. And the week after that will be another Futurism Friday. And again, we'll come in, we'll have a few topics, and maybe one of the topics will be babies made without mothers. We brought that up. Which is really creepy if you think about it. If you're taking just a skin cell and making human life out of it, whoa, that's, what does that do?
Creepy.
Is there like, is there theological issues there? Like, what would the church say? All right. So on the next discussion, on the next, we'll talk about whether clones, I guess, have souls. Yeah, that'd be a good one. Okay. Thanks, Savannah.
Thank you.
Like us on facebook.com/WWIPodcast and at WWIPodcast on Twitter. Drop us a line at waitswhatifpodcast@yahoo.com. Listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, or TuneIn Internet Radio. Enjoyed your listening experience. Now go forth and expand your reality.